The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Good morning. It is time to get up with the latest NFL stunner. Talking trade with Russell Wilson. Big city mayors in on it, too. We've got the latest. Don't miss it. Then, the game of chicken with the highest stakes in history as Houston finally decided to blank. Don't miss the very latest on Deshaun. And LeBron's Lakers with a test they absolutely need to pass. We'll show you what happened last night and tell you exactly what it meant as we get up with you starting right now. It's a Monday. I'm Greeny at the Seaport Studios. Delighted you've chosen to get up with us. Hope you had a great weekend. There certainly was a ton of sports. We'll get to the hoops, but we're going to start with the football. And the squad is ready to go. Dan Orlovsky is dressed up. It has been pointed out. He looks like his own evil twin. He looks awesome today. Kimberly Martin's got the insight, and Mike Tannenbaum is ready to roll. Let's get it started with Russell Wilson. You know by now, his agent gave Adam Schefter last week a list of four teams he would waive his no-trade clause for. Those teams, the Bears, Cowboys, Raiders, and Saints. Over the weekend, the mayor of New Orleans made her pitch for Russell Wilson to come marching in.
I've heard the rumors now, and I want to make sure that you understand that the city of New Orleans is a place for you and your beautiful family. I'm LaToya Cantrell, mayor of the city of New Orleans, and I know, Mr. Wilson, that you will be a great addition to the New Orleans Saints. And more importantly, I can see us in that number winning that Super Bowl championship once again. And what else I can see? The Mrs. Ciara Wilson herself on that main stage during the historical Essence Festival. Just wanted to stop in to let you know that we not only admire you, we want you. Love you, man.
Okay, so she did that. So then the mayor of Seattle responded by tweeting, "I love you, mayor, but keep your eyes off of Russell Wilson. His home is Seattle. And so you know, Seattle is in the market for an NBA team. Don't make me go there." So we have now reached this stage in the process. Who saw this coming? So it has gotten ludicrous, but delightfully so. So, Dan Orlovsky, I asked you this question several weeks ago, and I'm going to ask it again. Are we now living in a world where we have to be prepared for Russell Wilson to get traded?
Greeny, we are now living in a world where we should be prepared for anything in the NFL. That's my number one point. We all got to change the way that we're looking at this offseason when it comes to quarterback willingness, when it comes to movement, or teams' willingness when it comes to salary cap hits or whatnot. We all need to change the way that we think because this is a new NFL. Now, I really look at this situation. It's one of two things in Seattle. This is either about Pete Carroll and Russell Wilson being unhappy with him, or it's about Russell Wilson's long-term brand and legacy. Make it simple. If this is about Pete Carroll, Seattle Seahawks, fire Pete Carroll. Sit down with Russell Wilson. What happened? Why it happened? And who do you want moving forward? If this is about brand and legacy, if this is about Russell Wilson trying to become the NFL's Magic Johnson in 20 years from now, his mind is already made up. One more year in Seattle will not change that. It would flip to the organization. Then they would have to look at it and go, his star is brighter than it's ever been. We need to move and act fast to get as much as we can for Russell Wilson.
Mike T, give me a sense of what you're doing right now if you're in the middle of this somewhere. If you are, not the mayor of a city, but let's say the general manager of a team that is interested. Are the phones working right now on Russell Wilson?
100%. If we're in Chicago, for example, and we're Ryan Pace, the general manager of the Chicago Bears, I'm calling John Schneider, the GM of the Seahawks, and Pete Carroll, and I'm not getting off the phone. If I could get Russell Wilson, who's only 32, who has another 5 to 7 years of great play, that may save my job. This could be this year's Tom Brady. A year ago, Jason Light, GM of the Bucks, on the ropes. Tom Brady comes in, the rest is history. I am doing everything I can within reason and then some to get Russell Wilson. This is a rare, rare opportunity. And Dan's right. The whole narrative has changed. But if I'm desperate for a quarterback, there is no price that is too high.
And it should be pointed out that, quite literally, his price is not very high. $70 million over the next 3 years. So he is a bargain by current NFL superstar standards. But we do need one level head in the group this morning, and that belongs to Kimberly Martin. Kimberly, as you talk to people around the league, what is the expectation?
Greeny, the thing I hear from everyone is Russell isn't going anywhere. But where there's smoke, there's fire. And that doesn't necessarily mean that the Seattle Seahawks will trade him this year, but the fact that Russell's unhappiness has now leaked into the public sphere, that we're privy to what the issues are behind closed doors, because, you know, there may have been chatter over the last couple of years about how he, you know, how they draft, how they go after free agents, how they, how he's been protected with his own line. But now we have teams. Now there are actual four teams that Russell, either through his camp, has put out and said, hey, these are a bad option. So as Mike T is saying, if you're one of those teams, you better pick up the phone, because the Seattle Seahawks may not trade him, but you at least have to try.
That is a really important point to make sure that everyone in the audience is clear on this. These names weren't leaked. His agent, on the record, gave them to Adam Schefter. And so I will say again, Dan Orlovsky, if you're married to someone and that someone says, yeah, I'm happy right now, but I have a list of four people that I will marry in the event this thing goes sideways, right, we have a problem. Yes, we already have a problem.
Yeah, Seattle already has a problem. That's my point. Like, Russell Wilson's mind is likely already made up. This is not just, he's just using the vehicle of, I want more power, or I've been hit too much, to really get what he truly wants. He wants to go to a bigger market. He wants to be appreciated for how great of a player he has been. Remember, this is 9 years of high-level quarterback play, not a single MVP vote, very little MVP discussion. And the Seattle Seahawks need to understand he's just coming off his best season ever as a player. And if his mind is made up that this is about 20 years and the Russell Wilson brand, then they're going to have to seriously sit down and consider trading Russell Wilson.
Okay, so that seems to be very much on the table right now. And as we say, big city mayors have gotten involved. That's one quarterback situation. Let's get to the next of the day, and we'll begin it with today's required reading, which takes us to the Houston Chronicle. John McClain, who's a very well-known and respected columnist in Houston, wrote this about the Deshaun Watson situation over the weekend. He wrote, McNair, meaning the owner, Cal McNair, knows they're a more attractive team with Watson than without him. But at some point, reality has to set in. If Watson is traded for multiple high draft choices and one of them is spent on a potential franchise quarterback, the Texans would be much more appealing than if Watson were sitting out, creating a colossal distraction with A.J. McCarron and Josh McCown as their top two quarterbacks. Talk about a tough sell. And for people who don't know that market, there was a lot of reaction over the weekend saying, if McClain is writing that, that's a big deal. It feels like a big deal in that city. Kimberly Martin, let me start with you, because you talked a lot this morning in our meeting about leverage. Where is the leverage as we speak between Deshaun Watson and the Texans?
Now, I'm not saying I feel this way, but when I talk to people around the league, their question is, what leverage does he have? He's under contract. He just signed the contract in September, the extension. So is Deshaun Watson willing to pay back, to lose over $20 million and give back part of his bonus to the Texans that he's already received? You know, and when you look at Deshaun, if he goes to another team that has to give up a king's ransom to get him, he'd be going to a team that likely has the cupboards bare. Except for one team. I think the Miami Dolphins are positioned where they can at least say, hey, we can get you, we can give you guys all this and get Deshaun and still be a competent, well-run team with a lot of pieces. I don't think a lot of other teams can say that.
All right, so Mike Tannenbaum, let's talk about that, because the question is about leverage. What is the answer if you're in that seat where Nick Cazario is sitting and you've been there twice as the GM of two different teams? What is the leverage?
Yeah, well, right now, we do have, I have a massive pit in my stomach if I'm Nick Cassero, because publicly I'm coming out saying, hey, we want to work with, we want to make sure they, but I'm really worried that he's going to miss games. So while you do have because he's under contract, you're really scared to death. And let's put this in context, Greeny. We're in year one of Caserio. No free agent in their right mind is going to want to come to there until this situation is solidified. Caserio has to go see Deshaun Watson to fix it. In the meantime, if I'm Nick Caserio, I'm not taking those calls yet. And I want Deshaun Watson to know that your best and really only option right now with the Texans and not even go down that other road, because once that happens, you really do lose control of the situation.
Okay, clearly. And we'll try and get to a couple, obviously some issues with the hit there, but you could understand basically what he's saying, that there are issues on both sides of this. So, Dan, you have been steadfast all along in saying that Deshaun Watson has taken his last snap for the Houston Texans. So where does it go? How do we get from there to where we're going to wind up?
All right, four things. Deshaun Watson's leverage is his integrity, okay? The second thing is this. Nick Caserio, do your job. You come from New England, which is the famous saying, do your job. Your job as a new general manager, you were brought in to rebuild the Houston Texans, not just fix the relationship with Deshaun Watson. You're not going to do that, okay? The third thing is this. Deshaun Watson's not backtracking, guys. Deshaun Watson didn't get to March 1st, publicly say that he wanted an apology, or a trade, excuse me, sit down with the new head coach and tell him, I'm not playing for you, only to 5 months from now go, you know what, I was wrong. I'm going to play for you guys. He's dug in. And lastly, this move for Deshaun is not about 2021. This is a long-term move. Deshaun Watson is going to play for at least another 12 years in the NFL. You don't think he's willing to sit for 1 year to get out of an awful situation? Nick Caserio, do your job. Find a way to rebuild the Texans.
And to quickly, to Kimberly's point about the Dolphins, and we could see where the different leverage is, but to be clear, they have a whole lot of draft picks, and they have a young quarterback that they could put into this deal who was everybody's it guy just as recently as a year ago. So, Kimberly, you put Tua Tagovailoa in a deal and two ones and maybe a few other things, and maybe it is really a trade that benefits both sides. The Texans get the fresh start they're looking for, and Deshaun gets what he's looking for without going to a terrible team.
Yeah, and as Mike T is so famous for telling us, the tax situation in Florida, a little bit better than some other places. The weather, a little bit better than some other places. So yeah, I think if you're the Dolphins, you're Brian Flores, you're Chris Greer, you're a black head coach, a black GM, saying to a black quarterback in the NFL, hey, we value, we want to bring you here, we've got pieces, even if we give up the draft capital. Hey, one of those picks actually came from the Texans. So, and we're gonna give up a QB for you. This team is built to at least be competitive and potentially very dangerous going forward, which is not something that a lot of these other teams can say.
Look, with Deshaun Watson on that team last year, they would at minimum have been in the playoffs, and who knows how good they would have been there. All right, we'll leave it there for the moment. There is so much football for us to get to, but let's get now to the game of the night, because we had a couple of MVP frontrunners on the floor together last night on ESPN. Lakers, Warriors, LeBron, and Steph. James is the odds-on favorite for the MVP, and he would show you why in the first quarter last night. Look at him on the offensive end, and then the defense end. Lakers scored 41 in the first. They had a 20-point lead. Second quarter, we would add injury to insult for Golden State. Pay no attention to KCP's layup. Just watch Draymond Green. We're going to give you a closer look at Draymond Green's ankle here as he will come down on the foot of Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. Green would leave the game and would not return with an ankle sprain. Frankly, it wouldn't have made a difference. Watch this here. These are the final seconds of the first half off a miss. Here comes LeBron spotting up and knocking down the three. As the buzzer sounds, the Lakers scored 73 points in the first half last night. They were up 73-44 at the break. Third quarter, the lead is 30. LeBron is still on the floor, though he wouldn't be for much longer. Here's a little inbounds for Markieff Morris, the two-hand jam. He scored 13. The lead is 32. Later in the third, LeBron on the wing. He wouldn't play the fourth quarter. He would finish with 19.6 boards. Lakers dominate Golden State last night in what feels like a little bit of a statement game. And look who has gotten up with us early this morning. We got Kendrick Perkins. We got Zach Lowe. Good morning, gentlemen. And Big Perk, before we get to what is going to be the subject of the day, let me just get a quick thought on that game. The Lakers have been struggling. They've been losing. Last night, a magnificent performance. How big a deal is that? How important a night was that last night for LeBron's team?
Well, it's very important, Green. And let me tell you this. Every chance that LeBron James gets to put the Golden State Warriors and Steph Curry across his lap and give them a spanking, he's going to do just that. But Dennis Schroeder has been the key. This guy gives them swagger. Yes, LeBron and Anthony Davis are the best players on the team, but he is the heart and soul of this team. He picks up 94 feet. He brings that defensive tenacity. He, on the offensive end, he is the other guy that can create for himself and create for others. So the biggest thing for the Lakers, not just last night, but the game before that, is getting Dennis Schroeder back. He gives them that swagger.
So we'll see if they can finally put together a bit of winning streak. But Zach Lowe, there's a reason I wanted you on today, because I got something ready to go on the radio today that would fit perfectly into the Low Post podcast. And this takes us back to Saturday night. If you're watching the game on ABC, Luka Doncic, the day before he turned 22, by the way, put on a huge performance for the Mavericks on Saturday night that left James Harden of the Nets saying this.
He never lets anyone speeds him up and he gets what he wants. You know, and that's rare for a guy, you know, at a young age. I think he's, what, 21 years old, to be able to dictate the game and control the game like he does. So, obviously, we all know he has a very, very bright future, and the Mavs got a special one.
So, when Harden said that, Doncic was 21. He turned 22 yesterday. So, Zach Lowe, if you were starting an NBA team right this minute and you could choose from every single person walking the face of planet Earth to start it with, I would contend that right now the best choice would be Luka Doncic. Zach Lowe, what do you say?
You and I are in agreement, Greeny. I think when you consider age, you just said he's just turned 22. I think the answer is clearly Luka Doncic. And I've said this before on this show when we did Luka or Giannis for this question. My favorite thing about Luka is I can get any kind of player to play with him because he can shoot. Ignore his so-so three-point shooting percentages. Those are because he's taking crazy, difficult step-back threes. He can shoot, he can pass, he can play any position almost on the floor except center, I guess. So I can get any kind of player to build around him. The only real competitors at this point are Zion Williamson because of what we've seen from Point Zion, which is frankly terrifying, and someone who hasn't been drafted yet, like a Cade Cunningham or somebody like that. I think of everyone in the NBA, when you consider age especially, the answer is clearly Luka.
Kendrick Perkins, why are you making those faces at us?
Yeah, because I knew that, Greeny, I knew you and Zach Lowe was going to run my blood pressure high with this question, okay, and these answers. And look, I'm not taking anything from Luka Doncic. He is a special player, but and he is 22 years old, and I get all that, but he has a lot of miles on him. Let's not forget, he's been playing professional basketball since he had Similac on his breath, okay? When I look at a guy that I'm going to take to start my team today, if I had to draft a guy number one, it would be Joel Embiid. He is the closest thing. He is the 275-pound Hakeem Olajuwon. Special talent, averaging 30 points and 11 rebounds. And by the way, you talk about youth, he's only 26 years of age. He haven't even reached his prime. And guess what? He's on the verge of probably winning the MVP. The last four people to win the MVP, averaging 30 points and shooting 50% from the field, was Steph Curry, Kevin Durant, and Michael Jordan back-to-back years. So, look, I understand the Luka conversation. I'm not taking anything away from him, but give me Joel Embiid any day of the week right now.
Get him, Zach.
I don't need to get Perk, but we're talking about a lot of mileage. Joel Embiid is 4 years older than Luka Doncic with all those scary foot injuries in the rear view. I mean, I love JoJo. I said last week I would vote him MVP if we had to vote right now. It would be a very, very close race, but he would get my vote. I just think the injuries, if they don't disqualify him from this kind of conversation, it comes close because people are scared about what happens down the road. But I love JoJo. I think that's a totally fine answer, but I still go Luka.
Go ahead, Kendrick.
But Zach and Green, this is what I have to understand, is that Joel Embiid didn't really start playing basketball until he got to the United States, which was 1 year before he went to Kansas. So let's not act like it's a lot of mileage on his body. And then he really set out his first 2 years of his season. So what I'm saying is he still have a lot of basketball left at the age of 26, and he haven't even hit his prime yet. He go hit his prime when he turned 27, but he still have about 10 years of playing at this level. We don't know how long Luka Doncic got to play at this level that he's playing at. It's not like he have a physical build like a LeBron James. He actually have a whack body like Kendrick Perkins. And what a whack body is, I'm going to give you the definition. I'm going to give you the definition of a whack body, Green and Zach Lowe. If you could try as hard as you want to stay in the weight room and try to get ripped up, but you'll never get that six-pack. It's always going to be the two-pack with the little flab hanging over the front line, all right? So that's what we're talking about this morning.
Fair enough. I will say this, and I'd love to just continue this a little bit later today. If your argument is that you think that Luka Doncic is an old 22, then that strikes me as an interesting position to take. But I always love the give and take. I love you guys. Thank you very much for getting up early with us here today. We'll do that one on the radio a little later as well. As we continue, however, here, the standoff between Dak and the Cowboys continues. Dak has all the leverage, but does Jerry Jones have one shocking move he could make? We'll tell you what it is and why it would work. Plus, Drew Brees did something this weekend that may completely change the entire NFL offseason. Don't miss it next. It's Get Up on ESPN.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
We are back, and I insist we talk about golf. And if you didn't see this yesterday, you'll be glad we did. Because after the events with Tiger Woods and the accident this week, so many of the players on tour at the WGC event this weekend wore the red shirts and the black pants. You see them there. All of these guys paying tribute to Tiger Woods, who sent out a nice tweet talking about how much he appreciated all the support. That's Tony Finau. A whole bunch of them wore those. That's Rory McIlroy over there in the red shirt and the black pants. It was a really nice tribute to Tiger Woods, who clearly was watching. As we continue, the standoff between Dak and the Cowboys. Dak has all the leverage, but Jerry Jones has one shocking rabbit he could pull out of his hat next.
Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
We are back on Get Up, and boy, did this get interesting over the weekend. We now, by now, you well know the Dallas Cowboys and Dak Prescott have 8 days to work out something before the end of the franchise tag deadline, which is March 9th. Assuming they don't get a deal done, the assumption is they will tag him again for the second consecutive season. His number this year will be almost $38 million. And on they'll go, trying to figure out some resolution to the problem that never seems to want to go away. So before we get to the newest developments, Kimberly Martin, let me just ask you, is there any latest here on their negotiation? Do they seem to be any closer to getting a deal done?
As of right now, Greeny, there is no new developments. Both sides have said they want to remain together. The Cowboys are committed, say they're committed to Dak, but there has been no movement. Like you said, the Cowboys have until next Tuesday. That's when we expect them to tag Dak, to give themselves more time, so they have until mid-July to get a long-term deal done. But so far, no movement.
Okay, so that's basically the same thing. We could just tape that and keep playing it over and over again, and we could
Me saying that until.
And when we could date it, you know, like a year and a half ago, because that's been the situation. But here's where this got interesting over the weekend. But I'm putting this together with the Russell Wilson thing. Michael Irvin, Cowboys legend, sees the situation and sees an opportunity. Here's what he said to Sports Illustrated. Quote, quarterbacks suddenly have the power to leave a team. That also means they have the power to come to a team. Russell Wilson wants Dak's chair. Well, isn't that fascinating? And so I sit here and I think this to myself. If you're Jerry Jones, you have – so messed up this negotiation. You have backed yourself into a corner. You literally have zero leverage in this thing with Dak. But then a miracle falls into your lap. If you could trade, if they could trade for Russell Wilson, whether it was involving Dak or even letting him walk, Russell Wilson for the next 3 years cost you $70 million. That's 2 years of Dak on the franchise tag last year and this. You could pull the ultimate Houdini act and actually turn this terrible situation into Russell Wilson. It would be the great win you could ever possibly imagine. Dan Orlovsky, it's out there. Michael Irvin is fanning the flames. What do you think?
I love it. First of all, the Cowboys would finally have the player that matches the star. You know, the bright lights of Dallas. Listen, if anybody thinks that the Cowboys aren't or shouldn't be thinking about this, respectfully, you're out of your mind. You know, this is a better player that is going to be cheaper for them. Yeah, it's going to cost you a lot, but if the Cowboys really, really, really wanted Dak Prescott, he would already be under contract. And I think that there's a lot of reality to this. And the last thing I would say is this. How? Someone needs to tell me how the Dallas Cowboys are going to pay Dak Prescott more money this year than he wanted last year with less money to work with. So this gives the Cowboys like the get out of jail free card. This gives them the opportunity to get the superstar at quarterback that Jerry Jones has wanted since Troy Aikman, so to speak. There's a reality to this, Greeny. I absolutely believe it.
I mean, it would just make all the sense in the world. Mike T, I mean, work us through this here. You're Jerry Jones. Again, you've negotiated yourself directly into a corner. But if you could somehow emerge with a player who is, I think, inarguably better and definitively cheaper, it would be extraordinary. Can he do it?
Absolutely he can. He could call up Seattle and say, hey, we'll give you three number one picks. Look at our roster. We'll put in another good young player, whoever that may be. And absolutely, they should do this. And this is there's also a great intangible going on here, which is the old Coach Parcells line. Hey, Dak, if you're looking, we're looking. So everyone's looking. And it does create a little bit of a sense of urgency now for Dak Prescott. Like, well, wait a second. If I'm going to get paid, maybe I'm not going to get paid here. And I got to really think about moving to a new city. So absolutely, they should do the screening. And from a negotiation standpoint, it does pivot leverage a little bit that, like, well, wait a second, Dak, you have options, we have options, so we all do. Now let's sit down and see what we can hammer out, because if not, I'm going to trade whatever it takes to go get Russell Wilson.
That's a really interesting and important point, Kimberly. You were talking about it this morning, that at minimum, this does create some leverage where there appeared to be none.
Yeah, I mean, whether a trade gets worked out between Seattle and the Cowboys remains to be seen, but at the minimum, Jerry Jones can at least use Russell as a chip in his negotiations with Dak. I mean, both sides have said they want to be together, that they're committed long term. But if you're Jerry Jones, you can say, hey, there are other options. We, you know, like, bring us to the, like, let's get to the table and let's come to an agreement that makes sense for both sides, not just what you want, Dak. Because as you see, somebody like Russell Wilson, he could be made available. However, the big could. Is Seattle going to trade Russell Wilson? People around the league are skeptical, but crazier things have happened, Greeny.
Crazier things seem to be happening daily in the National Football League right now. That's the point. A year ago, we wouldn't have even bothered having this conversation, but we just read the quote directly, Danny, from Michael Irvin. Quarterbacks are driving all of this. They're making it happen. And if Russell Wilson wants it to happen, then it can happen.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it, Greeny. I'd say this. If I'm Dak Prescott, I want to know, I want my reps, I want my agents figuring out if Dallas has made any kind of call to Seattle. If they have, I'm done. I'm not signing a long-term contract with you. There's only so many times that you could technically disrespect me or technically flirt.
That is such a shame that we lost Dan. Leave him up there. I love the frozen photo, though. Let's put a clock underneath it, and we'll time it. It's a tradition unlike any other here on GetUp. You got to have some fun with this because it's such a shame. But Mike Tannenbaum, pick up the thought there, because the Cowboys do find themselves in a situation. And Dak, frankly, it might be the best thing that can happen to him. He would become an unrestricted free agent in this scenario. Someone will pay him a fortune of money. So purely financially, he doesn't lose in this. There is no scenario in which he loses.
That's exactly right. And he's earned the right because he's played out the franchise tag. And I totally disagree with Dan from this perspective, which is Jerry Jones has a responsibility to explore options. It's not about respect. It's about running your franchise in the appropriate way. Just like Todd France has done a good job for Dak Prescott. Dak Prescott is on the precipice of getting paid a huge amount of money by Dallas or another team. So as you said, Greeny, this could really be a win-win if Dallas and Seattle could come up with something that works for both sides. And as you've mentioned, they would save a massive amount of money short term, which is necessary with the cap going down and all the other needs they have. So look, in a negotiation, feathers get ruffled. That's just part of it. And Dak shouldn't be disappointed or disrespected. He should understand that Dallas is doing what's in their best interest.
Try it again, Dan. Go ahead.
And my response would be, I'm in your best interest if I'm Dak Prescott. That would be my response. Everybody has sat on here and told me I hate Dak Prescott because he played for the Cowboys on the cheap and he outperformed where he was drafted in his contract. That's 100% valid. So at the end of the day, we got 8 days left till you have to make a decision as an organization of what your potential plans for me are in the future. If I find out that you are calling another team and trying to see how realistic it is to acquire that quarterback and you're going to use me as a chip to go get him, there is a 0% chance that I'm ever going to play for you again. There's a 0% chance that I want to sign a long-term deal with you because you're telling me everything I need to know, that although I'm right in front of you, you're always going to be flirting with somebody else. And at the end of the day, the money is great. But self-respect and you showing me that you're in this together with me and you want to be matters just as much, if not more. And so if I'm Dak Prescott, I want to find out. Because if the Cowboys have called, I can tell you right now, if the Cowboys have called, there's no long-term deal.
A lot of teams have the money. At Mike Tannenbaum, how commonplace is that? I mean, you've been there. You've sat in those, you've been in that chair. The idea that you would be making phone calls right now. Go ahead.
100%, you have to do that. That's your job responsibility. I'm going to work really hard to get Dak Prescott signed. We should have done it 2 years ago. We shouldn't have paid Zeke when he was hanging out in Cabo. But when we don't agree to a deal, I have to be prepared for you to walk. I'm scouting Mac Jones. I'm scouting all the other players in the draft. And I'm exhausting every possible avenue to remedy this situation. But my main focus is to try to get you signed, Dak. But I have to look. That's my job responsibility.
Then that should be your main focus. I agree with you, Mike T. They should 100% should be calling, but know what the consequences to that is, to that are. You know, like if I'm Dak Prescott, don't tell me your main priority is getting me signed, but then you're also calling about another quarterback that you're going to use me to go get. That's my point. And Dak Prescott, again, should have way too much self-respect, and my guess is that he does, and self-belief to sit there and constantly hear for 2 years. Words, talk is cheap. DMX said it best. Talk is cheap. At the end of the day, if they've made the call to Seattle, Dak Prescott is done in Dallas.
And I got to leave it there. I'm coming back to this, though, because obviously there is a lot here. This is going to be the story of the NFL for the next week, at least. In the meantime, let me run the floor through yesterday's NBA action. The Bucks rallied in the fourth quarter behind 36 from Giannis and a game-closing 9-0 run to beat the Clippers. Good game in the afternoon on ABC. Giannis now has the same number of games with 30 points, 10 boards, and 5 assists in his career as Michael Jordan did. And so a spectacular win for them. Elsewhere, Bradley Beal and the Wizards visiting the Celtics, and despite 46 from Beal, it was Jason Tatum with 2 buckets in the final 15 seconds, and the Celtics a 111-110 win. Tatum finished the day with 31. And finally, do not adjust your screens. The New York Knicks are over 500. They beat the Pistons by 19. The All-Star Julius Randle had 25. R.J. Barrett added 21. The New York Knicks are alone in the 4 spot in the NBA's Eastern Conference. We are in March, almost halfway through the season. Look where the New York Knicks are. If the playoffs started now, they'd be hosting the first round. It has been something like 117 years since that happened. As we continue, Drew Brees did something this weekend that may completely change the Saints' offseason plans. You will see it next. Get up on ESPN.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than 1 rebound or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Back on Get Up, and did you see this? Over the weekend, Drew Brees had a workout video posted by his trainer, Todd Durkin, with the caption, "Something must be brewing." He's just running around pushing a sled. In the video, you hear the trainer say, "I've never seen him do this before." It raises the question of Brees' NFL future with his decision looming. And we all think he's going in the booth at NBC. I've been a broadcaster a long time. You don't need to be able to do that. I can confirm that. So, Kimberly Martin, what should we make of this?
It shows.
And everyone's assumption that he's retiring.
Nobody assumes that Drew Brees is doing anything but retiring this offseason. Look, Greeny, there are tons of guys in gyms across America right now chucking up shots saying, like, "I still got it." Just because they're in the gym and just because you see former players working out doesn't mean that they are going to return. The question is, how long is it going to take for Drew Brees to announce his expected retirement? That remains to be seen, but no one around the league thinks he's going to be playing in 2021.
I will just say this. It's one thing for guys to be in the gym chucking up shots. It's another thing for a 42-year-old man worth $500 million to be shoving a blocking sled all over the place in New Orleans.
I'm sure
and
a lot
posting
of
video
does that
of it
in his free time. Dan does
on
that
Instagram.
In his free time. Come on now.
I don't get it. Orlovsky, come on. What?
First of all, Kimberly, I feel personally attacked because that's exactly what I do. All right. That's exactly what I do. Second of all, Greeny, if you rolled over to like Coley Town Elementary yesterday at 11 o'clock in the morning, you'd have seen me and like the group of 10 or 12 kids out there doing the sled pull and playing soccer and throwing football and all that stuff. Seriously, I just think this is who Drew Brees is. Okay. I just think he's wired this way. You don't become a Hall of Famer unless you're a psychopath. He's a psychopath in a good way. Okay. The truth is, the best thing for the New Orleans Saints is for Drew Brees to come back on the cheap. Think about their situation as a football team. This isn't a good team. This is a team that is a Super Bowl contender without a quarterback. So find me the guy that is good enough to take a team that's a Super Bowl contender and keep them there and push them into the playoffs that's cheap. Find me that quarterback. That guy does not exist. So Drew coming back, who, by the way, had a better QBR last season than Russell Wilson, Tom Brady, Deshaun Watson. Just to remind everybody, Drew Brees didn't stink last year. Him coming back on the cheap is the best option for the New Orleans Saints.
Mike Tannenbaum, why are you doing that with your head?
Absolutely not. That's the worst thing they can do short term and long term. If he comes back this year, he's at best the fourth best. Brady, Rodgers, Wilson, and maybe even Dak Prescott. And if you keep them this year, you are stopping progress, Dan. And then next year, you're assuring yourself that you're not going to be any good in 2022. You want to talk about a psychopath in a good way? How about Bill Belichick? He's a great leader, will make great decisions, and not worrying about ruffling any feathers, and that's what the Saints need to do. They need to honor Drew Brees for what he's done and move on. That's what Bill Belichick's done for two decades, and that's why they've been so successful. It's over for Drew Brees. Stop. You're going to stop progress. If he comes back, cut your losses, move forward, sign Jameis Winston, and build for your future.
Go ahead, Danny, real quick.
Three things. One, you would rather have the 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th, 12th best quarterback in the conference over maybe the 4th? Is that a better situation? Two, I understand the progress, but this roster is not built for progress. This roster is built for now. That's why they're $70 million over the cap. They need to go win a Super Bowl now. Third of all, I just told everybody that Drew Brees had a better QBR than Tom, Russell, and Deshaun. Like, he played good football last year. What's better for the Saints? Go into the season knowing you have Drew Brees and what he is, or the question mark of a potential Jameis Winston or rookie quarterback?
So that is the question they will probably have to get answered there. Mike, I have to leave it there, and we will, but we'll come back to it. Kimberly, that's the kind of morning that it has been. That face, I think, sums up the morning perfectly today. But I got to get to the next issue here, because we're running the Hurry Up Tannenbaum with you through a couple of questions about the upcoming draft. And the first is, you loved Justin Herbert last year. Who's your Justin Herbert this year?
University of Alabama's Mac Jones. This guy is a cross between Jimmy Garoppolo and Matt Ryan. He's more athletic than people realize. He's accurate. He's a winner. He is going to go a lot earlier than people realize, and he's going to be a frontline star in the NFL.
Okay, so he might be the third best prospect in this draft, in your opinion. Who's second?
BYU's Zach Wilson. He is underrated as an athlete. He has great arms. He can make off-platform plays that are really difference-making. I love his arm strength, accuracy, athleticism, footwork. He's a winner. He played really well against Coastal Carolina, a game that they lost, and he should be the second pick in the draft.
All right, well, that brings up the big question. That's what the Jets have to decide. Who's better, Zach Wilson or Sam Darnold?
Yeah, Greeny, this one isn't even close for me. Zach Wilson is much better than Sam Darnold. Short-term and long-term, he is a playmaker. He's an athlete. And when we look at Sam Darnold's body of work over a long period of time, he turns the ball over. He had 54 turnovers in the NFL. And when you go back to USC, he had 22 interceptions there. So we could talk about supporting cast, coaching changes, all true. We can really give Sam the benefit of the doubt. But a sustained period of time of 3 years in the NFL and at USC, he turns the ball over. Zach Wilson has too much upside for the Jets to pass on him.
Go ahead, Danny. I know you've been starting to work on these draft quarterbacks. Who do you think is a better player, Zach Wilson or Sam Darnold?
I still think Sam Darnold is a better player. If you want to tell me that the Jets should take Zach Wilson because it resets the financial timetable and you think they're going to be comparable players in 4 years, cool, I'm with that. Okay, come on with the Sam Darnold hate. Why do quarterbacks turn the football over? The fundamental reason why quarterbacks turn the football over is they have to do things before they're ready to do them. Why do quarterbacks have to do things before they're ready to do them? When everyone around them sucks. When everyone else around them stinks, they have to play faster than they want to. That's Sam Darnold's first 3 years with the Jets. I don't understand how anyone could sit here and tell me definitively that any of these quarterbacks outside of Trevor Lawrence is going to be better than Sam Darnold. We've never seen Sam Darnold in like a relatively even situation, one that is somewhat set up for elementary success, let alone to thrive. And so you can't sit here and tell me he's an athlete. So is Sam Darnold. You can't sit here and tell me he makes off-platform throws. So does Sam Darnold. You can't tell me he gets all creative in second reaction plays. So does Sam Darnold. If you're going to tell me it's because of the finances, I'm cool with that. But don't sit here and say that he's a definitively better player because he hasn't turned the football over in the NFL. He hasn't played with the worst supporting cast in the first 3 years of his career either.
The external part, the finances part, also it can be offset by what the Jets could do with that second pick if they decided to stay with Sam. Go ahead, Mike T.
Yeah, there's one other box we got to check here, and that's greatness. In college, Zach Wilson elevated the whole program at BYU. He has shown greatness. He has made people around him better. And I understand things have not been perfect for Sam Darnold, but Dan, we have not seen greatness. He has not elevated the play of anybody around him. There's a ceiling on Sam Darnold. And when you're in draft meetings and you're trying to assess greatness, how does he impact others? I just don't see it with Sam Darnold between USC and the Jets.
Super quick final word, Dan, go.
How the heck would anybody expect Sam Darnold to have been great with the Jets? They were the most dysfunctional organization in the last 3 years with the worst talent. Of course he wasn't going to be great. I get it. I like Zach Wilson too. For anybody who tells me he couldn't beat Coastal Carolina, stop talking to me. Coastal Carolina was really good. He played really good in that football game. All I'm saying is this. I think the Jets coaches went to New York because of Sam Darnold. He's still a valuable young piece. And with the right situation, like any quarterback in the NFL, Sam Darnold can and will play very good football at the quarterback position.
Okay, I will leave it there for the moment. That's going to be a very interesting decision as they work our way towards the draft. Meanwhile, we are talking trades today. Russell Wilson, big city mayors are in on it. And how do the Cowboys play into all of this? We'll answer all of those questions as we roll on. It's Get Up on ESPN.